Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 23. I'm Jamie, and
I'm Joel.
You're back.
I'm back. Joel Crabtree. I was a guest. Joel Crabtree. I was a guest.
Oh, God. Right. And speaking of Crabtree.
Yeah.
Another one has joined. I'm Tony Crabtree, and this is my first time on the podcast.
So, for those of you who don't know, they're twins. So, not only do we have to have a guest pretty much every week now, we have to duplicate Joel, because he's such a fan favorite.
No,
that's terrible. I fucked it up anyway.
No, it was good. That was totally good. That was great.
But we are here to discuss movies this week, and there's some choice movies we've seen.
Choice movies.
Prime cuts.
But we're going to start with our newest guest, Tony, and talk about a film here.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about a film that the other gentlemen here have not seen, and it's currently on demand and in very few select theaters. So if you happen to be living in one of those cities that is playing it, go see it. But if you're not, you might want to check it out on demand. So this is the movie I'm going to talk about is The Mind's Eye. It's directed by Joe Bigos. Now, Joe Bigos is known for his 2014 film. Well, it was released in 2014 at least, Almost Human, very low-budget sort of throwback film. And while I didn't necessarily love that movie, I was really excited to see what he does, or what he did, rather, with The Mind's Eye, because I'd heard a lot about it from the sort of festival circuit, and a lot of horror fans were into it. So I was really excited for the follow-up film. And I'm really glad to report that it does improve on what he did with Almost Human. First off, when you start a movie out and you reference First Blood, you've got to know that I love me some Rambo. Sure. And you got a very classic scene. Joel, if I were to ask you one scene from Rambo that you loved, what would you say that scene is? Because I know my favorite scene.
That's a great question, because I've never really thought about it. When he's yelling about the golden baby killer.
Yeah, that was a good scene too.
That was the best scene, so that's not the right one.
My favorite scene is when he's walking and the cops keep hassling him.
I don't like it. I understand that.
Anyway, so the film starts out very similar to that, referencing First Blood, with the cops giving our lead actor, Graham Skipper, his character, a hard time. And then that kind of switches, because we learn that Graham Skipper's character is telekinetic. So after that, he's held prisoner by John Spyridakis, who plays a doctor, and you guys are familiar with Reanimator, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. John Spyridakis, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, his kind of character, his doctor character, is played very much like David Gale's character in Reanimator. Mm-hmm. So immediately, you know, you're seeing connections to other movies here. The telekinetic thing, very similar to Scanners. And honestly, it's very similar to David Cronenberg, except that Cronenberg is a provocateur, whereas Joe Bigos is just an entertainer, which is kind of good and bad for some things, but yeah, mostly it's for the good, I think. Lauren Ashley Carter, who recently, have you guys either seen Pod or Darling?
No.
Am I totally...
Not yet.
No. If you haven't, they're both very good movies. Lauren Ashley Carter's in the movie, and she's fantastic. She's becoming slowly one of my favorite actresses. She also plays a telekinetic person who's kind of prisoner by this John Spyridakis actor. Larry Fessenden's in the movie.
Yeah,
there we go. Larry Fessenden. You guys know Larry Fessenden. Habit, all these other movies that, you know, director of these movies that you wouldn't know. And, you know, again, like I was talking about, the film pays homage to Scanners and a lot of Cronenberg, and that's a good thing. There are practical effects. You know, there's a head-bursting scene. There's all sorts of fun, low-budget practical effects. It's a good time. The only thing is that it is very low budget, and it kind of feels that way sometimes. This movie's supposed to take place in the early 90s, and, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't always feel like the early 90s. If you're doing something that takes place in the early 90s, it has to feel that way. And sometimes the attitude and the quality of the TV feels a little too new. And then, and you know, you're in a telekinesis movie where you're blowing stuff up with your mind, and, you know, what happens is sometimes you get that overly strained look when you're trying to look like you're doing something. You're probably familiar with it. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Cartman in the episode Cartman's Incredible Gift, where references kind of
yeah, there we go. See?
Yeah. It kind of felt like especially Graham Skipper, felt like he was trying maybe a bit too hard
to do stuff. I didn't get what you were saying until you did that.
But overall, this is, the mind's eye.
Yeah, you should have done that first.
I'm not very good at it. Overall, it's an entertaining movie. I enjoyed it more than I did Almost Human. And, you know, I like Joe Bigos. I know that he had a low budget here, and he had a low budget with Almost Human. I like what he does with a low budget, but I'd like to see what he can kind of do with a larger budget at some point.
So, Joe Bigos.
Yes.
Joe Bigos.
Owner of Amazon?
Mm-mm.
Just kidding. Jeff Bezos.
Not the owner of Amazon.
Jeff Bezos.
Wouldn't have been able to answer that.
Okay. I can tell you, just really quickly, I was actually stuck in a car with Tony for probably a good deal of 2 or so hours. Where he brought
time.
Up Joe Bigos probably 6, 7, 8 times.
I'm a fan of his.
And he was, like, he's been talking about this movie for, like, a couple weeks now. Like, this is a thing. Like, what would Joe Bigos do? How would he make a movie? This is fascinating to me.
He
was telling
movies.
Me all the tips and tricks that Joe Bigos would make. And I'm just pointing out the fact that, you know, you're really a big fan of this guy.
No, I'm a big fan of this guy, and while I haven't been the biggest fan of his movies, I like what he does. And even though I might not necessarily like what he does all the time, I like the fact that he's doing something low budget. It's getting some sort of exposure. It's getting released by, you know, in this case, well, in the previous case it was IFC Films. In the case now it's RLJ Entertainment, or RJL Entertainment. I don't know which it is, but...
an acronym of some type that doesn't.
I honestly don't know what it even
stands for. Actually, that's not an acronym. Sorry. Anyway, yes, that's very cool, Tony. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I have to see it. It sounds great. It sounds like a great mix of all these different 80s tropes, like you
it's
said.
It's fun. It is fun.
Because one of my favorite Friday the 13th movies was 7, New Blood, when the telekinetic girl goes toe to toe with Jason.
Really? That's one of my least favorites.
Oh, really?
That's one of my least favorites.
I fucking love that movie as a kid.
Really?
I haven't watched it in a while, probably 8-10 years, but I enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, hell, you can't go wrong with any Jason film except kind of 5 because it's not him. Spoilers, but
I like five. I like 5. 6 is growing on me always, but 4 is number 1. The 4th,
huh.
Friday the 13th.
4 is
film.
Great.
Yeah, the dance sequence. You don't get much.
Oh, that's the one. What's his name?
I only want to call him Willard.
I know he's Willard.
Crispin Glover.
Yes,
Crispin
Glover. He dances. It's like the highlight of the movie.
I think the highlight of the movie is Jason.
No,
number 4 in part 4.
It's been a while.
But you have an autograph from one of the
Larry Zerner, yes.
Who is it?
Larry Zerner. He played Shelley in part 3.
How did you get that?
I just asked him for it.
He
mailed it to me, and apparently he was doing it for a bunch of horror fans. If anyone remembers Shelley from part 3 of Friday the 13th, I don't know how we got on topic, but
is he the one that had the mask?
He's the one that, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't care about Joe Bigos anymore.
He's the prankster. No, Joe Bigos is great. I like him a lot. And it does, you know, it pays a lot of homage to films that you love, which, you know, you can't really compare it to those films, though. Because
right.
Let's be honest, Scanners has been done. And just because he's doing Scanners or parts of Scanners again, or it feels like he's doing parts of Scanners again, it's not exactly the same, but you still, you know, you still like it. You still enjoy it. A head blowing up.
Sure.
And it's fun.
Sure.
Flipping cars, stuff of that nature.
Wait, he flips cars?
With his mind, yes.
That's great.
So, are you saying there's a lot of action in this film, too?
There's action. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's more of a telekinetic action film. It's not really much of a horror film.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if I kind of approach it more as a horror film, but, like, you know, when you're thinking Scanners, it's not... Scanners isn't a horror movie, really. You know, it's kind of an action film about this guy discovering his little powers. Not so little, actually, but, you know, it's very similar to that.
Would you akin this to a cerebral masterpiece of action such as Jason Bourne?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Exactly.
That's not even a good segue.
No, I was going to do it earlier.
Oh, that was pretty good.
You were waiting for that moment.
I would say that it... I don't know. Let's hear about Jason Bourne.
The new
are also flipped cars in the Jason Bourne.
With his mind?
There are.
With his muscles. Anyway, that didn't happen. So, yes, my top... My film of choice this week is Jason Bourne, which we have all seen?
Nope.
No.
Oh, you haven't seen Jason Bourne?
I have not seen it.
All right, so it's Paul Greengrass and Matt Damon. They return to the franchise.
What
after
happened to Tony Gilroy?
I actually don't know
what happened.
What happened
to Aaron Cross?
They dropped them really badly.
For those who are listening, I am a big fan of the Bourne Legacy.
I like the movie.
It's pretty good. I've seen that.
I was a fan.
It was all right. It was all right. I was hoping, actually, and so you're jumping the gun way, you know.
Sorry, I had to.
I like the Bourne Legacy, and I like what Tony Gilroy did with that film. I didn't love it, but I wanted to see more of what he could do, because I loved Michael Clayton. Michael Clayton is, like, one of my favorites of that year, and I just think he's a smart writer and a smart filmmaker who could have created something that was within the same universe as Jason Bourne, but different in many ways. What we get here is a lot of the same, because Bourne is back and there are car chases. You know, it's all about surveillance and the question of our privacy. So there's this you know, theme throughout of, you know, how much is the government listening in? Especially in this post-Snowden world, what is privacy and what does that look like? And what is security and what does that look like? So it's this weird, it's very similar to what they've done in the previous films, except for this time, I feel like with the return, it's sort of like, for me at least as a viewer, I'm looking at it as we haven't learned anything. We're still asking the same questions. We're still facing the same problems in terms of security and in terms of privacy and in terms of surveillance. And bringing Jason Bourne back at this time is probably pretty appropriate. With that said, the movie kind of spirals into its typical, actually not even typical, way beyond what is typical of Jason Bourne. In terms of destruction porn, just destroying cars and killing people in this Las Vegas chasing, which is absolutely ridiculous compared to what Tony Gilroy did in Bourne Legacy, which was really smooth, actually. And this one is just kind of over the top. But my question about this film in particular, I like the fact that it's bringing back to mind all of these things, you know, all these questions about you know, homeland security, surveillance, what it means to be safe versus, you know, having that privacy. My question is, with the Hollywood production, does it actually, in a way, do its audience a disservice? Most audience members aren't going and looking for, looking to ask these questions or looking for these themes. Does it do its audience a disservice by presenting it in a way that is so slick, that is so Hollywood? Does it make them believe that these themes are actually more fiction than fact? And that's something that when I was watching it, I was thinking about this, because it makes it look fictional almost in so many ways. So in that way, I think it kind of does its audience an unintentional disservice, but overall, it is entertaining. It does raise points that I think deserve to be, and raise questions that I think deserve to be asked. So from my perspective, I like the movie. I don't know as though I need to see another one. Jamie.
Is your argument that Jason Bourne is the Illuminati's response to the leaks of the NSA, trying to keep us complacent and subservient?
No.
I know you're a conspiracy theorist.
No. I think that Greengrass actually has done a great job of putting these topics right in front of the public.
Sure.
Right in front of them so that they can actually ask the questions. I just don't think they care. I just think they want to see chase scenes, and that's fine. I mean, they can go to the theater, you can see an action film and pretend like it's just an action film, but there's more to this movie than that. So, and I think that the same goes for Green Zone, and the same goes for the previous Bournes. You can shake your head all you want.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I'm not shaking my head. I agree with you on that. But at the same time, my problem with this, and we talked about this after the movie, we saw it together. Twins seeing movies together.
Happens
go
a lot.
Go figure.
Yeah, that's actually where we had the Joe Bigos conversation.
It was a very long drive to
get there. It was a long drive to the theater.
Why did it take 2 hours to go to the theater?
It's a long story. We were picking up a friend down in Augusta, and then we swung by, bottom line, Augusta Theater didn't have any seats. So we had to go to Brunswick.
Thanks, Augusta.
Thanks, Augusta.
I agree with you that the film has more to say than just the action sequences, but we've seen it all before.
Yeah.
We've seen it in, you know, Greengrass's Supremacy, Greengrass's Ultimatum.
Right, that's my point. But at the same time, even though we've seen it before, I still think it's, for me, having Jason Moore come back means that we haven't actually learned anything.
Sure.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there. But at the same time, for me, like, a lot of the plot stuff and a lot of that stuff about surveillance even, seen second. Honestly, I just wanted a good action movie. And that's really what it delivered. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that from the way they're... and I guess it's just me. I mean, I saw Supremacy and Ultimatum, and I took a lot away from those films, and I thought they were really well done films with an important message. And you will find very few people who support Green Zone more than myself.
I love Green Zone. No, you would find someone else.
Green Zone.
I was also a fan.
Oh well, yeah, we saw that one together too. Actually,
yeah, we did.
But the Bourne, Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne.
Jason
Bourne. You can just call it Jason Bourne.
I know, I keep forgetting.
And the next one will be Jason Bourne Legacy.
They haven't called the film just Bourne yet.
Yeah. It's actually going into the Fast and Furious territory with the way they're naming it. They're just running out of stuff. They have
Bourne
no
Again.
Idea.
Bourne Again is the next one.
Oh, that's a good one,
no,
actually. That might actually... Is that a title of one of the rip-off books? Not the rip-off books, but like the books that are written by people who aren't Ludlum?
Maybe.
Bourne Again. I'm pretty sure it actually is.
If not, they're going to use it.
If not... Feel free to.
Or just Reborn.
Reborn.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Hyphenated or not hyphenated?
Hyphenated. You have to hyphenate because you have to cast
a name.
Cat Bourne.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But I just, I feel like in this kind of setting with the action as good as it is, the plot for me and everything else for me took, I felt like I'd seen it all. And it felt very boring.
So it brought nothing new to the table.
Except for the action, which was still really fun.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the same. It's nothing new in the mythos of the Jason Bourne series.
Yeah, but if you're a fan of what they've been doing previously,
sure,
you're probably going to be pretty okay with it.
Yeah, unless you've seen it before, unless you're done with it, in which case, I think a lot of critics were kind of, you know, been there, done that, because their reviews weren't as positive as they were for the previous two.
They were not.
No.
They were not.
Or the previous three, actually, because Bourne, I keep forgetting the Bourne Legacy.
I like the Legacy.
Such a great film.
I
really liked it. When I walked out of that film, I was like, Tony Gilroy, do another one.
Yeah, I just like Tony Gilroy, though. I do like Tony Gilroy.
I know, I like Tony Gilroy. We all like Tony
Duplicity.
Gilroy.
Duplicity.
Was good.
I really liked it.
So, I've never been a fan of the Bourne movies, really.
I know you haven't. I actually knew this.
How do you know this?
I think you mentioned it
Facebook
either stalking. on the one of the, with Brandon, or
sure,
with John, or with August, or with someone.
One of them, yeah.
One of them, yeah. So, you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, I don't know. That type of action. I mean, I'm looking forward to Snowden this year because it's based on that.
Yeah.
That has more of an impact to the message of the topic of, you know, NSA overreach and that kind of stuff.
I mean, if you really want that topic, you should just go out and watch Citizen 4.
I did.
You go.
My favorite part
of
Citizen 4.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everyone else.
My favorite
watch
part
it.
Of Citizen 4 when he's doing his hair in the mirror. He's like, I need a little bit of hair gel. Hair gel. I don't know why. That struck me as a very human moment. It was like, oh, Edward
that's,
Snowden does
that's what you took away from
just
it?
Like me or you.
Well, the filmmaker's like, we need to do something that makes you feel human so people don't hate you. Can you just fix your hair for an
just
hour
do
in
your
the
hair
bathroom?
It wasn't an hour.
No,
he might have spent an hour. They might have edited it. So
he only showed 45 minutes of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was for some reason that part is the part that I remember the most, because I wasn't the biggest fan of that documentary, to be honest.
It's kind
of
slow. It's unnecessary.
I disagree.
No?
No, by the time it came out, my problem with it is it was all news.
Yeah, that's part of the documentary.
And I know it's part of the documentary, and seeing how that unfolded was the best part of that film, but at the same time, there were very few revelations for me about that document when I was watching that documentary.
I disagree. I think that it's hard because it's tough for me because, okay, so you do have... It sheds a lot more insight into what it is he's actually leaking than I think a lot of the news... Because the news coverage is pretty... to be honest, it's pretty scant on what you can find about it.
They bury it.
We're turning
news
conspiracy
media.
Theorists.
No,
here.
I'm just saying news media does not want to show what will cause.
But I think it's easy to. I think it's an easy subject to kind of just get the gist of and say, okay, I get what's happening, but without actually digging into it. I think that this one, it gave a really. There were at least four or five examples of things that could, not necessarily that were happening, but could happen, that I had no idea. Because he's like picking up his Avaya phone, and he's saying they can listen in on my Avaya phone, on your iPhone. It's
yet he was fine with filming it all.
Of course, because he gets it out there. That's the point.
No, it was a joke. That was just a joke.
Anyway, I think that the Bourne series,
yes,
the whole idea of he's running around the city, they're tracking him, they're all like in the room talking about it, and like, Bourne's back.
Exactly. So no, that's
so Bourne.
That's like my favorite line from the commercial that they had was, it starts the commercial out. It's their big line. It's this guy saying, "Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne," and I'm like, yep, surprise, Jason Bourne came back. And he's like, he starts the film as like some like low-life fighter in like these third world countries that just like, he's just like knocking people out with one punch. That's his whole thing. He's a one punch knockout. Until he doesn't want to.
He doesn't want to. You can tell. There's that look in Matt Damon's eyes that just,
it's better than the alternative. Active. I think that there's still something to be said with these films, and I think that Greengrass still has a message, and I think it's totally relevant, and he's,
I'm not saying
also,
it's not relevant. I'm just saying it's been done.
Also awesome at directing action scenes.
Except for that final scene.
The final scene is not the best scene in the film.
The final scene is the worst scene in the entire film, and I couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
The final scene was just...
It also stars Tommy Lee Jones, by the way, probably one of the worst
villains.
He's
also in the New Mechanic movie.
He's one of the worst villains, though.
But Tommy Lee Jones is pretty awesome.
Yeah, but he's
especially
terrible
in the New Mechanic. Have you seen him in the New Mechanic movie?
He's like an aged hippie. This isn't a segue, even.
That's not a segue. I'm just really excited for the new Jason Statham movie.
Alicia Vikander is also in it. Vincent Cassell is in it as an American, which seems so weird.
Is he American? I didn't think he really played as an American.
He has to be American.
No,
he
kind of played like someone.
He has to be American.
He wasn't part of Treadstone. I think he got that one wrong.
Really?
Yeah, because remember...
I don't know who's Treadstone anymore. I don't know whatever. What were the other ones?
Aaron Cross,
what was he? They gave everyone the wrong pills in the Legacy movie, and they killed everyone in the series.
And Tyler Perry's Alex Cross came in and fucked everything up.
Alex Cross, Aaron Cross, they are the same person.
And then there was Boo Madea.
I can't wait.
I'm excited for this movie.
We're going to see.
I want to see it ironically.
Are you interested? Because we're like Thursday night, whenever that comes out.
They're not gonna play a Thursday night in Bangor, Maine.
No, probably not.
But we can go. We can go elsewhere.
Just bootleg it.
No.
Or just bust in like we're demand to watch Boo a Madea Halloween at midnight.
I mean, just demand it. Say yes. This is what
we will sit here until it opens, unless you play.
I feel
it
like
now.
The Madea movie should just be on demand anyway.
No.
Get to your audience.
No.
Get to your audience.
And speaking of Madea, Suicide Squad.
I was gonna make a better one than that.
Nope, that was about as good as it's gonna get.
But no, speaking of terrible things.
Hey.
Really?
Are you saying Madea's a terrible thing?
It's probably going to be.
I've actually never seen a Madea movie. Never watched one.
I haven't either.
Nor have I.
I've watched parts of them, and
it's
I love
my,
them.
It's on my list of things to do. It's on my bucket list.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah.
It's a very sad bucket list.
Speaking of bucket
list, my
segue.
My quote, unquote, movie this week is Suicide Squad.
Now, why did you put quotes around that, Jamie?
Because it's a fucking nightmare. It is, I mean, there are a lot of reasons, but we'll get into that. But the movie, tease for next episode, but movies about like this, like I was really hyped for this film.
Yeah,
I mean the trailers really sold me. Like, okay, this is gonna be their take on like, you know, the Guardians, the fun type of film. But after hearing of all of the turmoil behind the scenes, it makes a lot of sense that the finished product is this. So now we've all seen it.
I have not.
I have.
Okay.
I did not. I was going to, I thought about it, and then I was like, I got a better way to spend 2 hours, 10 minutes cleaning my house.
Yeah. Anything. I'd rather
I wouldn't quite agree with this, but.
Okay. So.
Not quite.
Just so everybody knows, the film's written and directed by David Ayer, who's fucking awesome.
I like David Ayer.
Super Sabotage.
Well, sure. But,
Sabotage. But nobody saw Sabotage.
I saw Sabotage in the theater.
You got your Fury, you got your Street Kings. What was that one?
End of Watch.
He wrote Training Day.
Training Day and
training.
Harsh Times. I mean,
Sabotage.
And Sabotage. Generally speaking,
anyone likes Arnold Schwarzenegger, don't watch Sabotage
when
because
he works
it tarnishes Arnold Schwarzenegger's name.
Cops.
Ouch.
I like his
crime
stuff.
He works in Cops and Sabotage.
That's a different story.
You haven't seen Sabotage.
No, I haven't. Anyway, right. But we're talking about
next
Suicide
episode,
Squad.
Sabotage.
Now, Suicide Squad.
So, Suicide Squad. I guess he'd written it in about a month or 6 weeks.
Which is normal.
Yeah, if you want to make a shitty short film.
If you want to make Good Burger 2.
That can be written in about a day.
I love Good Burger.
I do too.
I don't know
why you're tagging Good Burger now.
I just reference Good Burger a lot. You can ask Jamie. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah.
But it was written in 6 months.
6 weeks.
6 weeks, I'm sorry.
Not 6 months.
The film was edited about a dozen times from multiple sources. Actually, Trailer House, Trailer Park, cut an entire feature-length edit of this film, which I think might have been the one that they used for this. If you couldn't tell, because every 5 fucking seconds, there's a new pop song, like a Trailer Park had made it, and lo and behold, it did. I don't know, I went in, like, really high hopes.
Yeah.
The cast I was okay on, like, Margot Robbie, love Margot Robbie. I think she did okay with that. I liked her Harley Quinn for the most part. She didn't have a lot to do. She was sometimes annoying, but, so I want to hear Tony's point in this. We'll get into more discussion.
I'll talk about it after. You finish.
I think he's finished.
I'm done, man. With the movie, that's for sure. I don't like a lot of the cast. So, we mentioned them before the recording, but Jai Courtney. There are people in Hollywood that Hollywood tries to shove down your throat. I'll give you some examples here. Jai Courtney, Joel Kinnaman, Sam Worthington. They're like, he's so cool.
Sam Worthington was in Sabotage, too.
Oh, was he?
But you wouldn't recognize him because he has, like, cornrows and stuff.
No idea, isn't that?
Yeah. Okay.
I like Sam Worthington.
Continue. Anyway.
There are these guys with little personality that really stand out. I mean, they're not character actors. They're not leading men. They keep trying to make these people big things. To a lesser extent, Taylor Kitsch. I think he has some personality. I think he just hasn't found something that makes sense for him.
My question, are they like mini Eric Banas?
Eric Bana, that was a good character actor.
He was.
He still is.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was The Finest Hour. Or Finest Hours, whichever one that was.
Yeah, Finest Hours.
I mean, he's solid.
He was funny in Funny People.
He's.
I liked him in there.
I just don't think you see the movies that Eric Bana's in.
Hulk was the best movie of all
time. What was the last movie you saw with Eric Bana in it?
I don't know. He has a thing with Ricky Gervais that no one likes.
Yeah, you didn't watch it, though.
I didn't watch it, no. That's why I didn't watch it.
Back off Eric Bana.
I actually didn't watch it because Ricky Gervais shot on Eric Bana.
Oh, great.
Good for him, but I'm still not going to. Eric Bana, I support Eric Bana.
I do too, kinda.
Well, why are you saying that?
I mean, Munich, I was gonna say.
Well, because Munich. I feel like what they did was they took him out of his element,
Chopper.
And said put him in a new element.
No, his element is, and I feel like this
that
is his
not
new.
His.
His element is Eric Bana's element is that he is a character actor and he always plays small roles that have some sort of importance.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like if you think back to Star Trek, Chopper.
Also, I like Chopper. But also, not in Suicide Squad. So let's talk about the other dude.
Which one? Jai Courtney?
Yeah, Jai Courtney.
Although, maybe he was in Suicide Squad.
I actually didn't mind Jai Courtney in this one. I didn't mind Jai Courtney in this one. And normally, that's saying something because I really disliked him in the previous two films that I saw him in. Terminator Genesis and Die Hard, whatever, 5.
Oh, God, yeah.
He really is the problem in that movie because, you know, you're Bruce Willis' son, you have no charisma. That's strange. Here, I kind of liked him though.
He was fine. I'm not giving him more shit. I'm just saying that these people are like forced down your throat.
And you put two of them in one movie.
Yes. And
two.
Man, this film is marred with so many issues. I mean, honestly, it has the editing's an issue, the soundtrack's an issue. I think the script is god awful. And I'm sure there's a better film there somewhere because they did a lot of cuts of this film. But like Will Smith, I think is the better part of the movie for the most part.
Only part of the movie
the
I really enjoyed.
Yeah. And I don't see him as a villain, though. I think he's a very vanilla kind of person. He's always a good person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's always been a hero.
And his character isn't, they go out of his way to make his character still not a bad guy. And that's, you know, part of my problem with this movie is actually they keep, you know, oh, the bad guys turn good. Oh, this is their big selling point. All of the bad guys really aren't that bad.
Having not seen this movie, does he carry like a picture around of his kids?
Might as well have.
He should have.
Because that would have been great.
I mean, honestly, he actually should have. It would have been, yeah.
I should have written this thing. I love that aspect right there.
I don't know. I really liked Will Smith in the movie.
Sure.
And I actually, the cast itself, I'm not going to knock. I'm going to knock the characters who are given so little to do.
Right.
And I'm going to, you know, especially the, for me, you know, I think the Harley Quinn character is supposed to be annoying.
Yeah.
But it was to a point where it wasn't a good annoying. It was just annoying. And I in the theater, there were several moments where she was with the Joker and, you know, Jared Leto's Joker, just kind of cringeworthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not in a good way. Not in a way like, you know, and I agree with the music cues. The music cues are so out of place.
Jarring.
And they're so I mean, like, how many times do you have to hear CCR in a movie when people are getting ready to go fight? Or
that only works, by the way, in the Expendables.
Yeah, the Expendables. A lot
Twins.
Of a lot of it felt like the Expendables too.
Yeah,
like the music cues did, but not in a good way because they're old and outdated, and that's funny. Suicide Squad's not supposed to be old and outdated.
You like you said, you nailed it. So the characters are underwritten. The film had elements of fun in the beginning, like when they're trying to come together.
Yeah.
It was done in a terrible way. Like, they're just like, exposition. This person, Harley Quinn, did this and this and this. And
they throw a file down on the table.
And then they have these really quick little, like, graphics about them. Like,
yeah.
Which, by the way, if you didn't see it, one of the graphics for Harley Quinn is, like, complicit in Robin's murder. Super quick. Gone.
But, like, Robin hasn't even been introduced to this.
His suit had been introduced.
The Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah, not that one. Not that Robin.
Better not be.
I mean, I don't know. I also recently watched the ultimate cut of Batman versus Superman.
Oh, you did? I want to see that.
Don't. It's the same stuff. It really is.
I thought it was supposed to be better.
Everyone says it's supposed to be better. Those are the people who are...
Those are the DC Universe people who are just, like, totally...
They're DC Universe apologists who know that no one is going to seek it out unless they actually like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I did seek it out, and I didn't like the movie the first time, and I still like it the second time. And what they do to Jimmy Olsen is unforgivable.
Oh, they kill him?
Apparently, he was the guy at the beginning.
He was the guy at the beginning.
But nobody knew.
No, of course not.
I thought that, actually, when I was watching it. I was like, that's really awkward. Like, the whole thing is just really strange. That movie is a mess, too. What is it with the DC Universe that makes, like, such messy movies?
They're playing catch-up. They're throwing everything in these films, right?
Yeah.
So here, I mean, and Marvel's not... innocent in this regard. I mean,
no.
they throw characters in without some backstory.
But they get away with it because they have coherent storytelling.
But most times they don't throw these people under the bus really quick. They actually do introduce them.
Not, yes.
That's why they have their own films they were building up to this point. I mean, like, Black Widow and Hawkeye are kind of forgivable for... I mean, those kinds of things, like, okay, you learn a bit more about them in the Avengers films, but, like, throwing in Wonder Woman in Batman versus Superman just because she's a big name, and, by the way, because she had no movie, China's like, who? Female Superman? Like, who the fuck is this? Like, seriously, that was the thing in theaters, like, who's this? Like, some
China
guy.
Probably almost banned the film over that.
Yeah.
They're like, well, who is this? What's
but
happening?
I will say,
female
about,
Superman? We
about
don't
that
know
film,
that.
Unlike Suicide Squad, they gave Wonder Woman a great theme song.
They did, with the Junkie XL.
I was annoyed by it at first.
Yeah. I was at first, too, and then I watched it again, and I was like, all right, I'm digging this. I'm on board.
It felt jarring when it came in the theater. No,
when I initially watched it, I agreed.
Yeah.
And I agreed walking out of the theater. We all talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we were there. We were there.
But
the movie
they really just kind of, like, throw her in and say, hey, let's have Batman say, is she with you? And then Superman says, I thought she was with you. And that's,
even if he knows, she's not.
It's so stupid. I hate
so
that line.
That mentality, right? Throwing Wonder Woman. That was this entire film. Let's throw everything together. Let's try to make this universe a thing before we establish it properly. Like, you have Enchantress. You have magic introduced in the second film, or technically the third film in the series, without any cause for it. Like, Harley Quinn's supposed to fight Enchantress? Why is she on the Suicide Squad?
And I think a majority of the audience should be left asking, who is Enchantress again?
That's what I'm asking.
And why
is
Cara Delevingne fucking suck at this movie?
Yeah.
She's so bad.
Not her fault, though. I'm still going to argue.
No, I get it. I mean, oh.
And I'm going to argue it's not David Ayer's fault
either. No, I don't think so either.
And I'm going to argue that this makes no sense to me. For the last two movies, you've had Ben Affleck in your movies. Ben Affleck is a hell of a director. And you have a Batman movie lined up, essentially,
mm-hmm.
with Ben Affleck as actor and director.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you still haven't pulled the trigger on that. You would rather do another movie with Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder
Ben
thing.
Affleck do a Batman movie, or even just hand the universe over to Ben Affleck and have him do a Justice League movie. I bet he wouldn't want to, but...
No, he wouldn't. He said he learned so much from Batman versus Superman. Like, he was like, this is so overwhelming. He's going to do a Batman movie. That's kind of worrisome. I think he's going to have a lot to do.
But I think Ben Affleck's Batman movie, I mean, if you watch, like, The Town, it's going to be that...
Sure.
It's going to be that sort of... down-to-earth Batman. You're going to not have the Enchantress. You're not going to have Superman. You're not going to have the massive amounts of visual effects. And I think Ben Affleck can do that. And
Is he going to travel to Boston?
Of course. Isn't Gotham pretty much Boston right now?
It's technically Oakland.
I don't get it.
They said Oakland versus San Francisco.
It's across the bay from Metropolis. Just like right across
the bay. We've never seen that before. Man of Steel.
Never mentioned before. Right across the bay, where Lex Luthor can watch everything from his giant palace.
You know, like, there's the Martha Code of Honor.
Why'd you say that name? Why'd you say that name?
I usually thought of that this morning. I don't know why. I was on my way to work, and I'm, like, driving around, and I'm like, huh, that was really stupid. Did they mention Martha in this film?
No.
No.
So, this movie, you actually made me think of something, Tony.
Yes.
This movie is everybody, all these actors who were cast for these roles. Were cosplaying as these actors, these roles, because they had literally nothing to do with the characters. I mean, very few. Like, so Jared Leto's Joker was so, like, it was so, like, you know, how the internet forever was. Like, everybody's freaking out. Like, no one can beat Heath Ledger's Joker, even if they said the same thing about him when Nicholson was Joker beforehand. And they gave nothing, literally nothing, for Jared Leto to do.
And that's the problem. They didn't give him anything to do. It's not that Jared Leto was the problem here. He's not the problem. None of the actors are the problem.
No, I don't think so at all. I think they did. This is a fact. They rushed this to production. That's why I only had 6 weeks to write it. That's why, I mean, during the shoot, they're like, during the shoot, Jared Leto's like, hey, can we make this rated R? Like, they were just still trying to, like, make things work and throw things in there. And
actually, it does feel, I will say that it does feel more like it's a harder PG-13 than I expected.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, bodies are dropping in a fairly regular... If you enjoy Adam Beach, don't see this movie. Spoiler alert.
I mean, if you... Yeah. Yeah.
I'm an Adam Beach fan. As soon as I saw Adam Beach in the movie,
what's
I was like...
Is he in? I've never seen him before.
Oh, Adam Beach.
Or have I? What is he in?
He was in Windtalkers.
Oh, that was him. Okay. Yeah, that was him. That makes sense then. Yeah.
I mean, okay. I'm a fan. I was a fan. I was like, this is kind of cool. I didn't know he's in the movie.
I guess that happened in the comics, too, so whoop-de-doo.
Doesn't matter.
I know.
Unforgivable.
I know. Well, Unforgivable, they didn't even introduce him. You don't care.
They didn't... Well,
spoilers, he dies. You don't care. You don't care he dies.
There was something really strange at the beginning where I was like, that guy wasn't introduced.
And then
I was like,
and here's Slipknot. Who?
But it's Adam... He can climb any rope, and he's Adam Beach. And I was like, Adam Beach, that's a name. You keep that guy around.
It's not a name.
I don't think it's a name.
He is a name to me.
Jai Courtney is more of a name than Adam Beach.
Yeah, I will give you that. From my perspective, one thing that I actually really liked about this film, and I feel like they got it wrong, this is a cast of minorities.
Sure.
It's filled with lot of minorities, and here it is making $135 million or so opening weekend. I felt like they had the ability to do something with this movie with the amount of... But there's no publicity towards that. Instead, all the publicity is towards how terrible the movie is, how bad the movie is, when there's only, like, two white guys on the entire Suicide Squad. And I feel that's kind of a weird way to approach this, you know. Jay Hernandez. No one's talking about Jay Hernandez.
No, he's in it, actually.
Well,
he's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty good in the movie. Jay Hernandez.
Sort of an arc.
Will Smith. Fantastic. I think a lot of people are talking about Margot Robbie and the fact that her role is kind of sexist.
The entire movie is racist and sexist. What does Killer Croc want? B-E-T.
He did say this in
B-E-T.
The movie.
B-E-T. A crocodile gives a fuck about B-E-T. Excuse me, no. Because he was a black person before he transformed. Okay, that's not racist at all. Let's punch every woman we have in
the
film.
By the way, they don't establish that. They don't establish he was a black person before until we hear him talk, and then he has this very, very, in my opinion, stereotypical accent.
Stereotypical Southern... ax you. I didn't ax you a question. It's like he came out of a Madea Halloween. Boo!
Not touching that one.
No, so seriously, that it was frustrating how racist and sexist it was. Like,
one of the arguments I've heard is that the relationship between Harley Quinn and the Joker shows a lot of, like, abuse.
It's never set up properly.
But it's never really... In the comics, sure.
Oh, yeah, in the comics, yes.
In the film, I'm not necessarily even seeing that because I'm not seeing anything. And I thought that was kind of... strange, because a lot of people are up in arms about that, but I'm not really seeing that. More than anything else, I'm just seeing the fact that, like, the shorts she's wearing are not conducive to fighting.
It's just to sell her ass.
Yeah, and it really felt... it felt very out of place. Did it really, though? Never mind. That's the Suicide Squad. Will Smith's good, though. I still argue that.
And there's an Imagine Dragons song on the soundtrack.
And that segues into our next segment about Pete's Dragon.
No, but it's a terrible song. Seriously, I hear it, and
I've never heard the song.
I haven't heard it.
You didn't hear it on the movie.
None of the songs featured in the soundtrack were in the movie,
except for there is the song at the.
There's probably
the
one.
End. There's the song.
Sure,
at the end.
In the credits.
Yep, in the credits.
In the credits,
which were very colorful.
Everything else is Queen, CCR,
Eminence
on the nose songs about yeah.
It's the most uninspired musical choices I've ever heard.
Well, and that's, you know, a lot of people compared the musical choices. They were saying, is it trying to be like Guardians of the Galaxy?
It was.
Except for Guardians of
the
Galaxy, like, those choices were really good, actually.
You don't top James Gunn.
No. And that's
actually...
I was going to go back a little bit where we were bashing on Batman v Superman.
I wouldn't say bashing.
We were bashing.
I'd say critiquing.
I'm going to bash. I will bash.
I'll critique.
I'm going to go back to the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Oh, Zack Snyder.
Which James Gunn wrote. Can
James
you
Gunn's
imagine
hilarious.
That movie in his hands all the way through from, you know, from
that'd
writing
be
I've
directing.
Been arguing that for a while. It would have been a much better movie. But
I mean, it wasn't bad.
Well, I don't think Zack Snyder understood the humor, even.
No.
I don't think he got what was going on in the movie.
No. Imagine
no.
they were still working together. Oh, God.
Yeah,
imagine he wrote Batman vs. Superman instead of Guardians.
It's very diplomatic of you, Tony, to say that would be interesting.
No, because I'll go out of my way to say that Zack Snyder, for me, there are certain Zack Snyder movies I like. I'm not anti-Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Sucker Punch.
I prefer...
Love Sucker Punch.
I hate you.
I prefer...
I know. Most people do, but I like Sucker Punch.
For my money, Paul W.S. Anderson. That's my guy.
Oh, Paul W.S. Anderson is my go-to.
If I'm going for a guilty pleasure, that's where I'm going.
Yeah, sure.
I love Paul W.S. Anderson. I don't love Zack Snyder, but sometimes Zack Snyder hits something that I'm just like, all right, Sucker Punch and all of people disliked. But for me, it was like watching a live action kind of odd anime thing come to life, video game thing come to life, and I was thinking 12-year-old me would have loved this.
You know what the best part of that movie was?
The ending?
Oscar Isaac
was
that was the first time I'd seen him. Like, holy
actually,
shit.
In the end, he's hilarious. Again, he's doing the whole singing, song and dance
but
thing.
He's good. He's good.
Oscar Isaac's good in it.
Yeah, I know.
He's good in Sucker Punch, though.
The biggest issue Zack Snyder has is he doesn't see himself as a guilty pleasure director. He sees himself as an artist.
An auteur.
And he's
terrible.
Oh,
I don't think he would ever use that word.
He might, in circles. But, you know, he probably, you know, touches himself to his movies. Anyway, Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Suicide Squad. Apparently not very good.
So watch
five times.
Yes, you should see it.
Yes.
And then leave halfway through. Because, I mean, there's no character motivations. Like, just, for example, let's say it was Joker that was the main villain.
All right.
He's not, by the way.
No, he's not. He doesn't even have anything to do with the actual plot of the film. If Harley was part of the Suicide Squad, then I would get it. Because she would know Joker. She would know the inside out of this person. And maybe his hideouts and shit like that. There would be a purpose for her. There's no motivations like when at the end when their devices were blown up. They didn't have to stay. There's no reason for them to stay. They didn't have like an arc to say, we're going to help you out. They just came back.
Yeah, except for like the Will Smith character, again. Who is the only character that's given...
Family
he doesn't
around,
know.
His wallet.
He
doesn't
know. No, I don't...
He's a little doll.
He does.
Yeah. No.
Oh, really?
No, no.
Jack Courtney does, though.
He does. He has this fetish with pink unicorns. Sounds like Deadpool to me.
Well, Jack Courtney actually does in real life, so...
Really?
No.
I was going to say, because that'd be pretty awesome.
I mean, it would be.
He would gain points in my book, because why not? That'd be weird enough to, like...
I don't hate Jack Courtney. After this movie, I was like, Jack Courtney could do something good.
He was fun in it.
But he's not given the roles. And he's not Kyle Reese. Best Kyle Reese ever, Anton Yelchin.
Yep.
Take that.
Yeah.
Oh, if you want to go against Terminator Salvation, we're going to have some words later.
They actually talk
no,
about
it's
funny.
I'm just saying that.
Anton Yelchin, for me, the only person who ever delivered Come With Me If You Want to Live and did it decently. Everyone else, I cringe when I hear that line these days. And they include it in every single Terminator movie.
Of course they do.
Oh, yeah.
And Jack Courtney didn't even say it.
Same
Jack Courtney didn't say it. Instead, it was the Queen of Dragons, whatever her name is.
Khaleesi. I'm so glad I missed that one.
She says it, and honestly, I didn't mind her in the role, but I thought that line, take it
so
out, because it doesn't work. Suicide Squad,
we also have to say something about that. The film quickly devolves into the critical analysis of every Marvel film. It ends with a very generic villain, a very generic world-ending machine...
It's
lightning in the sky.
It's literally a machine that is never explained what it does.
No.
I've heard she's that, like, actually. I'm gonna build a machine.
They worship machines and we'll build machines.
I'm gonna build machines.
Brother! That's it.
I don't know that. But you know, actually, the last Captain America film did not go into that territory.
No, I know. I'm just saying that.
That's a good movie.
The first, like, you know, there, it was a pretty good trend for a while with Marvel.
It's an easy trend.
Well, it's easy, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, End of the World's a high stakes, but it's not usually earned.
It's true.
Why does it make sense half the time?
And,
why does it make sense?
No, definitely not. But this movie, it was the worst of all of them. I didn't like it. I mean, I do disagree with that.
It's not as bad as the Batman vs. Superman, is it?
I don't think it is.
Have you seen the Batman vs. Superman?
I think it's worse than Batman vs. Superman.
Does someone say Martha?
I vote no on that. I vote no. I think that, again, for me at least, every time Will Smith came on screen, and this is something I haven't experienced in a while because I haven't really liked Will Smith recently.
Yeah.
But every time he came on screen, I was like, that guy still got it.
Yeah, he does.
And he makes something out of nothing.
He does, that's for sure.
And to me, that is more than Batman vs. Superman gave me.
Batman vs. Superman at least looked visually stunning. Cinematography was better in that film. And like, this is August talking, because August is usually the one that says cinematography, but...
You don't know August.
I don't know August, never met the guy.
He's cool.
But yeah, it just...
Seems nice.
I don't want to see either one ever again.
No.
August?
August or John. No, I mean Batman vs. Superman
or
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, no, I would not. If someone told me that David Ayer had a final cut that was different, that was better, I'd watch it.
Oh, sure, I'd watch that too.
But in current form, I...
Hypocritical. I just fucking ruined it. Sorry. I just completely went against what I just said.
But it's got to be, you know, there's got to be a certain, you know...
Reason?
There's got to be a stamp of approval behind it. And not what we got.
I'm sure they'll do the same thing. It's all in an effort to try to make good on the in the comic book world. Like, oh no, seriously, we have a better version, just like Batman vs. Superman. It'll probably be rated R too. They'll come in and dub fuck a couple times and call it rated R.
There's only one of those in the ultimate cut of Batman v Superman.
You can do that in PG-13.
There's one F word.
You can do one F word in PG-13.
And it's not that violent either. I don't even know how it got R. I'm wondering how much Warner Brothers had to pay the NBAA to give it an R.
Make it an R?
Guys, Deadpool's rated R. We've got to make an R-rated action movie.
It's all
that's the thing.
But, yeah I guess unless you have nothing else to say, I'm done talking about that movie. I really don't want to talk about it anymore.
You sold me, guys.
I'm still going to champion Will Smith in this one.
Sure, no.
If you're a Will Smith fan... I think it's worth seeing just because Will Smith is... I mean, he's good. He's entertaining.
Yeah, I'll joke. It must be crazy. He was the funniest. He had the only laugh.
I gotta say, I laughed at that line. I laughed at that line. I didn't laugh at anything else throughout the entire movie. Anything Harley Quinn did, I was like trying to like get away from my ears, away from the speakers. And I love Margot Robbie.
I love Margot Robbie. And just sad.
She's very good in most things that she does. The only person here who is of value is Will Smith. And that's it. And Viola Davis, by the way.
She was...
Nah.
I think she was intimidating, but yeah, her character was annoying.
I don't get it. I don't get where this logic for her to do all these things comes from.
No, not at all.
When she has the files, as we see, she has the files for The Flash and Aquaman, and she's like, let's go get these villains.
Plus, she fucked up in the first place. It was all her fault.
Everything's her fault. In the entire
movie.
Wait,
she has the files for Aquaman or The Flash?
This is how they introduced superheroes in the world of DC.
Even though they've
been so terrible.
YouTube clips, or I should say clips attachments, and then... Files.
You can cut this part out because I might spoil something.
And Lex Luthor actually creates the, he created the logos
for
all of
them. Well, here's the thing. Bruce Wayne has the files already.
Yeah.
From Lex Luthor's stuff, but he gets more files.
Of the same people.
In paper form of the same people. It's like, how is that going to lead to the Justice League? Didn't you already have that going? You didn't get that ball rolling already? And, why does she contact these villains when she could have just got the Flash to do the same shit?
Sure.
Except easier because he's the Flash.
To answer your question, sorry. First off,
yes.
Why did he get the files from her? To verify his sources, just saying, you have to have two different sources to make sure it's legit.
Three, technically. So maybe before we get to the Justice League movie, he's going to have to
be another
recertify. Alfred will have something.
Oh, yeah.
Sir,
Alfred's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I've had these for like 5 years.
These are called the
Which, by the way, Jeremy Irons. I love Jeremy Irons as Alfred. I thought
sure.
I'd hate him. I love him.
He's so much better than that, though.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. So anyway.
Don't see it.
Don't.
All right.
Don't bother. But we're going to talk about it more next episode because I have to bring it up as a segue into the next episode. But you know, you'll see why.
That's true. We'll see.
You'll see why. But this has been Not Quite Hollywood, where we shit on DC, rightfully so. Tony's like, no, I don't shit on it. I'm not going to.
I'm still going to say.
After that Batman and Superman movie, I'm just like,
okay,
no.
They're both not as bad as Green Lantern.
Yeah,
sure, 100%.
That's not saying anything.
I'll leave that at.
He has a point.
He does have a point, but that's not. That
they're improving.
Right.
It doesn't slow.
They're improving.
Right.
Oh.
No.
I like Jonah Hex.
It's like a baby shit's green, then it eventually turns liquid brown. One day it'll get regular.
Did you see Jonah Hex?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, in that case, I'm the only one that can talk here, except for you, but you're going to keep your mouth shut. Jonah Hex, not a bad movie. DC was off to a great start.
It could be.
Jonah Hex.
That was before Green Lantern, wasn't it?
That was before Green Lantern. It was in between the whole Dark Knight thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just gets worse.
Yep.
Yeah.
They just keep going downhill from here.
I like Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Christopher Nolan. Sorry.
Did not direct Jonah Hex.
Apologies to you.
So, Not Quite Hollywood on Facebook. notquitepod@gmail.com if you have any questions. If you have your own opinions of Suicide Squad. I know you don't. It's okay. No one responds, so I feel sad.
It's okay if you like Suicide Squad. You can speak up.
Sure.
Don't worry.
I mean, and there are a lot of things that we liked of the film. It's just it wasn't done right. So
and we didn't focus on many of those things that we liked.
Yeah, we're just so angry.
Except for Will Smith.
Will Smith. Yeah, I'll joke. It must be crazy.
I like that.
I love that line.
I laughed.
He had a good reaction to it. Like, wow, they actually gave me really live rounds.
He had a lot of... Yeah, that was funny. That was actually
good time.
I am a little upset that this is the film that made him not be Captain Stephen Hiller.
But
I was glad Stephen Hiller wasn't in it. I like this picture. Oh my gosh, that picture of him. I mean,
the
like,
portrait?
It reminded me of Armageddon so bad.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes. Tune in next week. We'll return with Joel and Tony, of course. But I'm Jamie.
I'm Joel.
I'm Tony.
And we'll see you next episode.